All right, thank you very much. And hello again, dear radio friend. How in the world are you? Now we're finishing up our look at Psalm 107. Look with me at that last verse. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, how do you understand the loving kindness of the Lord? Go back in the psalm and stop on these refrains. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The loving kindness of the Lord meets me at the point of my inner need. Wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord. He satisfies the longing soul. The loving kindness of God can be understood when you realize that he meets me in my inner need. Oh, it's the defeat inside that makes the defeat outside. Isn't that true? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. Think about a thing long enough and you'll do it. And it's that inner defeat. It's that inner warfare that we are losing. That is where God begins to work in his loving kindness. He loves you so much that he wants to help you in your heart life, in your inner life. Then look at the second refrain. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. This has to do with the delivering power of God. The delivering power of God. I had a letter a while back from a couple who live in Pittsburgh. And the letter said, when I first heard you, I really wasn't all that impressed, and I was a little bit offended, as a matter of fact, when you said, if there's somebody who is a slave to alcohol, if you'll admit that you're a slave and ask Jesus to deliver you, he will. The letter went on to say, I was a little bit offended, but then I thought to myself, well, why shouldn't I try it? And so I got down and on my knees and I prayed, oh God, I know I am a slave to this disease of alcoholism, and I'm going to ask you in Jesus' name to deliver me. And then he did what I had taught people to do, that is to thank God for hearing you. Take the step of faith and thank him for hearing you. The letter went on to say, he said, Mr. Cook, I can't say that anything definite happened that minute, but I have to tell you that events began to shape themselves so little and little, I have turned clear around in my life, and I'm now free and delivered, or words to that effect. I remember, too, his wife added a little P.S. and said, I want to say amen to what my husband has written. It's a whole new ball game. It's like having a second honeymoon. And she signed her name. Well, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus will deliver the alcoholic. Jesus delivers the drug-addicted person. Jesus delivers the person who has, let us say, trouble with greed or pride or dishonesty or whatever. Yes, he does. The key to it is to ask him. Talk to him. Talk to him. You'll know, and he'll know when you mean business, and there'll be a difference. Believe you me. Talk to him. Call on the Lord. Call unto me, we read in Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God does answer prayer, and he does deliver. He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Oh, hallelujah for the delivering power of the Savior. How do you get it? You ask him to deliver you. The old song is right. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and guide you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Yes, he will. That's part of the loving kindness of our Lord. Now notice another refrain here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. This is verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. If you want to understand God's love, as I said in another broadcast, learn to praise him. Sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Start praising God and you'll love him more. If you don't believe that, just try it. Start praising God and you'll love him more. Over in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find this verse, Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the last verse of Psalm 107 says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. How do you understand God's loving kindness? Start praising him, and your heart will respond to him in love. Then you come to this last refrain, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. And there we're back again to the point that I made early on, that there is power in united praise and thanksgiving. Eric Hutchings, my good friend from Great Britain, was over in Korea not long ago when they had people more than a million strong gathered in a great area to partake in a service that was put on there. And he said the thrill of the whole occasion was to hear these people, more than a million strong, together shout praise to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Interestingly enough, he said every time they cried hallelujah and the earth reverberated with their shout, just a few miles away across the 38th parallel, the communist guns boomed out as if to give a scornful reply. It happened again and again. Every time these people praised the Lord, hallelujah, the guns on the other side, the northern side of the 38th parallel, would boom out their scornful reply. Strange and yet not strange, because if there's one thing that the enemy of your soul hates, it is that triumphal praise of God that just refuses to be intimidated and refuses to stop praising the Lord. A gentleman who spoke at our chapel service a while back mentioned that he had been terribly abused by his interrogator in a communist prison. And one day he looked at his interrogator and tormentor and he said, you are trying to make me hate you, and you're trying to make me break in my spirit because of hating you. But he says, I choose in Jesus' name to love you, and I'm praising God for what he's doing right now in your life. He said the man recoiled as though he'd been struck in the face and went away. And it was not too long after that, said this man who was speaking for us, not too long after that, but that there was a rattling of a key in the lock in the midnight hour, and that same interrogator came quietly into the cell and said, I've not been able to get away from what you told me. I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. There's power in praise. Have you thought about that? Power in the love, the loving kindness of God, as exemplified in the fact that he satisfies your inner need, as exemplified in the fact that he delivers you from the captivity of sin and habit, as exemplified in the fact that he helps you praise him even in the midst of trial. There's power, power, power in the work of the Lord in your life. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, Psalm 107 starts with mercy and it ends up with loving kindness. Have you given any thought to that? Where do you start with God? You don't start to ask for his loving kindness and his blessing. You ask for his mercy. Sometime remember that you are a candidate only for mercy. Everything outside of hell is pure mercy and grace. Start with mercy. Catherine Marshall said that one time in a difficult situation, she simply gave up and prayed, "Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, have mercy upon so-and-so." And she said, strangely enough, things began to change after she prayed that prayer. Be a candidate for God's mercy. Adoniram Judson, as he lay dying, gathered the young men around him and he said, "Every day exalt the mercy and the grace of God. Make much," said he, "of the mercy and the grace of God." That's the starting place. God is merciful. His mercy endureth forever. Be a candidate for mercy and grace, and you'll be able to understand something of the loving kindness. So you see how God works in people's lives, and then it says, they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. He doesn't always do the things we ask, and he doesn't always do the things that are pleasant to us, but he does take out the distress. He does take out the inner turmoil and tempest. He does make us victors over circumstances instead of the victims of it, and in it all, he shows his wonderful love to us. He does it because he loves us. Dear Father, today, help us to say yes to thy will. Help us to cry out to thee in prayer, and help us to listen to thy word. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener-supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 7526. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.